Thank you. Well, good morning. I think maybe Ruth got a little confused. Those songs were not for her, they were for me. Thank Joel for leading those songs. It's always interesting when the songs seem to go along so well with what the Lord's been working with me on. And so it's a blessing to see that Joel is, or whoever's leading, is open to the Spirit as well. And the encouragement it gives me also. The title of my sermon today is The Goodness of God. And I'm going to start off in Matthew 20, verse 1 to 16, and it's the story of the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them out into his vineyard. And he went about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went out. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those who came were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish to do with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." Jesus is comparing in this parable, those who maybe have served God all their lives. And I don't believe when we get to heaven that we're going to be upset because someone else receives the same pass into heaven that has served all their life, and someone who has served maybe in their last days or maybe in the last hours has accepted Christ. But what caught my eye, it says, verse 15, it says, "Or is your eye evil because I am good?" God is a good God. We experience that every day. Many things happen that we are not aware of. Wesley's experienced it. Even as horrible as it was to have a tree fall on their house, had it happened 3-4 minutes sooner, could have been much worse. Had the tile man showed up earlier in the morning, he could have been in that room. We don't know what would have happened. But God is good. That's one thing we know for sure. God is a good God. Story is told of a professor at LaGrange College in Missouri who... he had final exams lined up for this day, and students came in, and they tried to get in, and they were, as they got there, they were trying to do some last-minute cramming, and the professor arrived and began to go over some review, and part of it they knew, but all of a sudden there was parts of it that they were not aware of, that they had not been over. And the professor said, "This is in your book, and you are required to know this." And there was lots of discerning looks from one person to the next because they did not recognize part of the things he was going over. And as he told them to put their books away and begin to take their test, they flipped their test over, and as they looked at their test, their names were written in, and all the answers were given to them. They each received an A for the class, though they did not deserve it. For whatever reason, the professor took the test for them. That's what God does for us. He's a good God, and he has taken that test for us and has given us what we don't deserve. How many of us do not deserve the things we have received? The last time I shared here, I spoke about how God was our Savior, but he was also our judge. But God is a good God, and God cares about us. A lot of what I'm going to be reading this morning comes from Psalms. He talks about the goodness of God. Psalms 34, verse 8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." And as you notice, in so many of these things, God is good. But we have to do our part too. We have to trust in him. Psalm 119, verse 68, says, "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." So not only is God a good God, but he does good. It says, "Teach me your statutes." We want to be like God. Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5. "As enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generation." How true that is. The mercies that he shares on each one of us. His truth endures to all generations, from one to the next, passes on. And I'm going to read Psalm 145. It says, "I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing your righteousness." You know, I think that's one of the things that when you pass down from one generation to the next, when you tell your children and your grandchildren things about that happened to you, it reaffirms to them the greatness of God, gives them a head start. So many people, they don't know about the goodness of God. They don't know about the great acts that he's done. It says, "And shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." Again, the Lord is good to all, to each one of us. We can't escape it. He is good. And so many times, we see people who maybe aren't good, who aren't doing good, and yet we see them in the life they lead, and it seems like they're blessed. And we get a little envious. We get a little jealous of what they have. Here I am serving you, Lord, trying to do what you want me to do, and I'm struggling along. And this person over here that's leading a wicked life, looks like they've got it all made. But that's not what life is about. Life is far more than riches. We have many blessings as Christians that those people do not experience. We can lay our heads on our pillows at night and get a good night's rest. Many cannot do that. Verse 10 says, "All your work shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you. You give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." Not only does God give us our food, it says he opens his hands and satisfies the desire of every living thing. What does that mean, to satisfy? When you're thirsty, when you're really thirsty and you take a little bit of a drink, that's good. But when you can drink and drink all you can need, all you need satisfies that thirst. You're no longer thirsty. You know, sometimes this summer, seemed like I just couldn't get enough to drink. It was hot, and you kept drinking and drinking, and my thirst was never quite satisfied. But with Christ, with God, it says he satisfies the desire of every living thing. No longer have that thirst. "The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love them. But all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever." It says the Lord hears their cry. And I'm going to read Psalm 107 as well. And it talks about people crying out to the Lord. Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." These people were searching. They were wandering around. They had no food. They had no water. They were beginning to give up. But then verse 6 came. It says, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 9 again talks about satisfying. "For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." These people who were searching, who were out and were ready to give up, they were hungry, they were thirsty, with no place to dwell. They cried out to God, and he delivered them. Not only did he give them food and water, but it says he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. He brought them to a place where they could live, where they could survive. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. God is a good God. Then verse 10 talks about a different kind of people. "Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons." Why were they there? In affliction and irons. "Because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High." Someone who had rebelled against God. They were in chains, likely in prison. Maybe they were in spiritual chains. Verse 12 says, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. He saved them, even though they had rebelled against him and despised his counsel. He saved them out of their distresses. Verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Someone who had lived in a life of sin, they transgressed. And because of that, their iniquities, they were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death, almost to die. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent them his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Not only did he save them from death, sent his word and he healed them, delivered them from their destructions. Sometimes in life, when we sin, when we transgress, there's still reaping that we have to do even after we've been saved. But it says that he delivered them from their destructions. He healed them. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lift up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. These men who are on the ships at sea, and a mighty storm comes up, and they're going up the waves and back down. They're sick. It says they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, knowing that their life is at quite possibly its end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. But he doesn't stop there. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Not only does he calm the storm that these people were in, make its waves still, but it says he guides them to their desired haven. He takes them where they were headed. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. God is a good God. He cares about each one of us. Verse 32 says, let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. And now it turns a little bit. Talks about a little different thing. So he turns rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water, and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell. So God turns these rivers, and we all had plenty of rivers this week. So he turns them into dry ground, into a wilderness. Why does God do this? Because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. God does things like this to bring people to him. He allows them to happen. It says, there he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that he may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. God is a good God. God cares about each one of us. He looks out for us. It says, when they are diminished and brought low through oppression and affliction and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high and far from affliction and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice. And all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The NIV says a little bit different. Verse 42 says, the righteous see it and rejoice. And then it says, and all iniquity stops its mouth. It says, those with iniquity along those lines, those who live in iniquity, stop talking about it. But we know that God is a good God. And going back to these four examples, is that we have all been in one of those places. We have all cried out to God. And God is a faithful God. God is a loving God. Like I said before, he's also a judge. And he's a righteous judge. But when we call out to him in our distresses, he hears us. And he is faithful. And not only does he save us, he takes us to our desired haven. He heals us. He sets free those who are bound by the chains of sin. He delivers us to a city where we can live. And I think the one thing that sticks out to me about God is that so many times we as humans, we've been let down by people. And when we do, we kind of put our guard up against it. Maybe we don't hold grudges. Maybe we do. Maybe we say that person is getting what they deserve when they cry out to us for help. How many of us, if someone were to rebel against us, would say, you're getting what you deserve? But yet God is not like that. God is always there to rescue us. He's always there to come to us and deliver us. God is a good God. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. God is a good God. I have two more scriptures to share. One is Psalms 31, verses 19 and 20. It says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of man, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. God has goodness laid up in store for us if we trust in him. God has goodness for us. We've been truly blessed already, and yet we know that God has more goodness stored up for us. And the last verse is a very familiar one. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 13. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God has good thoughts for us. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. God is a good God. God loves us. And even when we go astray, He's right there. He's ready to take us back. All we have to do is cry out to Him. Today, as you go home, if you find yourself in one of these spots and you want to cry out to God, cry out to Him. He will hear you. He will save you. For God is a good God. God loves us. Let's stand for dismissal. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and I thank you for your word that we have. Father, I thank you that you are a good God and that you do good things. Father, I know that so often we take for granted the things that happen to us, little things that we think are coincidences or just lucky. But Father, we know that you care about each one of us and that you are a good God, and you can look down and you can see each one of us. And you want good things for us. And sometimes things come into our lives that draw us to you. Some things we go through, maybe don't feel good, but yet you have bigger plans for us. So Father, I thank you for being a good God, for being there for us. Whenever we cry out to you, maybe it's because of our foolishness. Maybe it's because we are rebellious. Maybe it's just a struggle that we're going through in our life. But we can cry out to you, and you are there to save us from our distresses and to save us from our afflictions and to lead us into a safe harbor. Father, I thank you that you are a good God. I just ask that you would be with each one of us today. Father, I pray that you would help us to live our lives in a way that brings honor and glory to you. And to go throughout this week and not forget that you are a good God and that you love us and you care about us. Go with us today and watch over us, protect us. In your name I pray. Amen.